Of course, this morning we'll be talking to Sarah from Basilea very shortly. But today in our kids' kitchen, I found, you know, I always love to find some things out of the free magazines, and I found some juices and smoothies. And what a great idea. It's school holidays. And, of course, there's always that bit of a chat. So I'm going to go through some of those combinations there. And in our family kitchen, family table today, I'm going to be talking a little bit about preserving, because it seems that people are doing that and getting back to some of those really fantastic fundamentals. And that's the one positive thing I must say that's come out of COVID, is that that we're actually being a little bit more mindful with our food, which is fantastic. But right now I think we'll welcome our guest, Sarah from Basilea. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning, Annette. It's wonderful to be with everyone this morning.
School holidays.
Yes, it is school holidays. It is such a busy time for me because, of course, everybody wants to get into their garden and have that time to get into their garden over the holidays if they're taking 1 week off, or fortunate enough to take both weeks off. But I have small little children, so it is a bit of managing the two, and we've done a great job so far. Day one, we kicked off with taking off all of the oranges from our tree, and they were a bit tart, so we made that into a cordial, and I managed to sneak in a bit of thyme into that cordial, because I do actually love that combination of orange and thyme together, and of course that's putting beautiful benefits into that cordial, along with the sugar. But it is holidays and they need that energy to run amok in the garden.
I think it's also, I mean, that's the only ingredient that you are probably not in favour of. We're off the shelf ones. I'm sure there's a lot more. And I think also I saw a beautiful recipe. I love lemon barley cordial. Mm. It's so refreshing. And I saw a recipe for that and I thought, you know, that's the sort of stuff that's really good. And kids can make that. I think it's really good for them to actually learn.
Well, you're absolutely right. The sugar is the bit that I don't like. However, what I've chosen to use is raw sugar. Now, I actually love that caramel taste that raw sugar can actually give you, sort of that burnt, nice taste. And also it's less processed, whereas what we are getting in the store-bought cordials is actually that high processed corn fructose syrup. That's the one I'm definitely wanting to stay away from and try and get more of the complex carbohydrates for the children as much as we can, at the least processed we can go as possible.
I think it's a good thing. Now, I had the pleasure of coming to your little farmlet on the weekend, which was great, stock up on some seedlings. And you mentioned today we're going to talk about spinach.
Yeah, because a lot of us, like, we are getting really hot right now. It's overcast, a beautiful day, but it is very warm and we're getting that humid weather. And generally we tend to think, oh, well, spinaches aren't a thing that we can grow now that it's getting warmer. But in fact, there are some really great spinaches that do actually thrive better in these warmer, more sunlight days as we come into spring and summer. So I do want to share a couple of those with everybody today.
Now, of course, a lot of people think of spinach as one of those veggies they don't like, but baby spinach in a salad is just delicious. And I've found this recipe, which I'm going to share a little bit later, for a spinach jam.
Wow, that is very interesting.
Yeah, and then, of course, you can have that, rather than the smashed avocado on the toast, you have spinach jam with a little bit of feta and a poached egg. I mean, how nice would that be?
Very fresh. I can imagine that would be very, very fresh and light for this warmer weather.
So what sort of spinaches are we talking, Sarah?
So I'm talking about the chard family. The chard family, we are got our beetroot leaves in that chard, beetroots in that chard family, and of course with our beetroots we can use the leaves as well. We can use beetroot leaves as a spinach. So if you've got your beetroots growing there, or perhaps you've put some beetroots in and they're growing, they're not sort of growing as fresh anymore because they are into the heat, those leaves will still be fantastic to use down into a spinach, We're getting back to having just that bit of spinach on the side. I know we were kind of hiding spinach and we were putting a lot of things in spinach, but now I think it's really good just to have spinach on the side of your meal as that side dish, again, like carrots and your corn, I guess, and potatoes. I don't know, did you, Annette, do you mix your spinach in with a lot of different things or do you have it on its own?
Well, I love it as a salad. I really do love it when I do a whole lot of baked sweet potatoes, like a combination, and I'll do some purple onions and I'll do some garlic, like I'll put a whole big chopped one garlic knob in half and just roast that off. And then when I'm finished, and carrots and whatever, when I'm finished, I just put fresh spinach with that, which is just beautiful. Just toss that through.
Yeah, as you're tossing it through and a bit of that warmth from the rest of what you've roasted there is just lightly wilting it down. And, of course, that's sort of the best way to go about it because you can definitely turn spinach into this suffering thing that kind of goes to nothing. And you're absolutely right when you are just putting it in, mixing it with different things and lightly frying it off, you're able to wilt it down softly so that it's not too hard. And then or if you are sort of, we are going to get warm weather. Mm. And if you're not putting enough water into your garden, you will typically come out with tougher plants.
Okay.
That isn't necessarily a bad thing because your plants are still full of nutrients and they've done their best to keep growing through the dry time. But certainly when cooking them, they're not something to go, oh, they weren't perfect, they don't soft and tender, perhaps trying another way of cooking them a bit longer with a different method. But along with the beetroot, so in that chard family, we also have silver beet. Now, silver beet is something that we are synonymous with cold weather, and it is one of those cold weather ones. However, there is a white chard that is very similar. It has a white stalk, but the leaves are a lighter green. And that silver chard or white chard is one that goes really, really well in our warm climates. In fact, I'm growing it right now as a baby cut leaf, and it's right out in the full sun. It's in more sun than I've actually got my basil at the moment. And it is doing wonders, and it can be used as a baby leaf one that you would do in raw salads or, again, in cooked. And then it can be left and get as big as a silver beet leaf, and that's when you can put it down into perhaps a stew or a soup, summer soup.
Or a beautiful pie.
Yeah, in a beautiful pie. I had some beautiful pork from Piggy in the Middle, beautiful family farm just north of the Moreton Bay, and we made a beautiful pork pie out of that. And I actually put some endive and fennel in that.
Oh, nice.
So endive is generally known as a bit of salad leaf. However, I tend to cook it down more than anything, very, very lightly, with a little bit of salt and the bacon or pork, whatever I've got available there. That's my Mediterranean heritage coming through there with the endive.
And do you make a base with that, a sauce base with that, or are you just chopping up the pork and cooking that off?
Chopping off the pork and cooking that off. It's often leftovers from the roast, to be honest, that you're turning into another meal the next day.
I love food like that. And when you were talking before about that little bit of a cooking, sometimes what I'll do is actually saute a lot of garlic and some onion, and then I'll make that. Sometimes I'll do bacon with it. Sometimes I might do some salmon, but I'll use cream. And then I'll use this as a base for something like a really lovely gnocchi or tortellini, or I really love this cheese and spinach. So therefore, what I'll do is put that more spinach into that sauce, and I'll cook that, and then right at the end I'll put big handfuls of spinach, and that makes a beautiful sauce. And you can put some nice smoked fish in there or something. It makes a great basis. But once again, you're just wilting that a little bit, and it just gives good flavour.
makes a great lunches too. I can imagine having some really good lunches out of that. At the moment, I've met a beautiful man who's cooking for the Reiko Rings in the Moreton Bay, the Sublorious Project, and he's been cooking some hemp breads and zucchini breads. And at the moment, just with an egg from my chooks each morning, a slice of his quite dense bread. Of course, it's a keto-style bread, so no grains in there. And with all of my greens. So at the moment, I'm mixing all of the greens together, all of the different charred spinaches together. That includes the white chard, the ruby chard, which is that beautiful streaks, and, of course, the perpetual spinach, which is the all-green, the best substitute for English spinach. If anyone wants English spinach all year round, perpetual spinach is the seedlings to get.
Now, when you talk about watering, I mean, one of the things at the moment, we've had so much wind. And as Gary from Kookaburra says, you know, wind is probably one of the worst things for drying out your garden. But are you watering in the morning or in the afternoon?
I'm still watering in the morning because it is still very dewy in the morning. So I'm watering them down in the morning because I don't want to give them any more extra moisture at night. Now, what I can say for those that have dehydration issues, if your garden bed is out in the open, is to keep your plants rather small and to use them a lot. Mm-hmm. So if a big spinach leaf the size of a silver beet, of course, will dehydrate a lot in the day. And it will dehydrate at night. It will come back looking fantastic. Now, if that leaf is doing that for several days, it's going to stress and it will actually make your plant a little bit tougher. And it could have been eaten 5 days ago.
Mm. So by this
keep them small.
Yeah, by harvesting, is that going to actually make them grow a little bit more too, do you think? Or?
It will.
Yeah.
Because you've got to think about, you know, they've got their beautiful veins and they're sending all the food along their beautiful veins. And if you've taken it off that leaf to eat it, well, that food is going to go into another vein to make that one grow. So keeping your plants small or just taking them off when you're ready to use them will not only promote more growth but keep healthier plants as well that aren't dehydrating in our big, heavy days.
And with that silver white chard you were talking about, is it a smaller plant, like the silver beet, which I still think makes the best spinach and feta pie, in my opinion, because it just has that really great flavour. That white chard, it doesn't grow as large as a silver beet when it's a fully matured plant? Is it a smaller?
No, it does.
Okay.
It absolutely does. If it's in organic soil, it will. The main difference is the lighter colour green.
Okay.
And I do find that it doesn't have such a big stalk. I have seen some silver beet with quite epic, you know, 1-inch stalks all the way down that have been growing for quite a while. And you won't get that on the chard. You will get a smaller stem and a lot lighter green. We're talking, you know, in the spectrum of light greens, it is a light English spinach green, not that dark, rich silver beet green.
So if people have got, say, maybe not as rich or a lot of access to a lot of water, what spinaches would you suggest for their garden?
Definitely the chards. Mm. I would go the chards. If you aren't a gardener at all but still want to start with edibles, my number one would be going to the Australian native spinach, which is the Warragul Greens.
Okay.
The Warragul Greens go on very, very little water. Certainly when you find that you've got more luscious soil, they'll have big juicy leaves and they'll go for days and you will see the difference between the nutrition in your soil and how that correlates to the growing of your plant. The better your soil, the bigger, beautiful your plants will be. The Warragul Greens is a little bit more forgiving where it doesn't require so much nutrient or water. So that one's definitely one to go because it loves to ramble through. It's actually not as spinach as we know it in a rosette where it's growing through the centre and we're harvesting the roadside leaves. This is actually a creeper. So you'll find a big long stem with beautiful juicy leaves, and you'll harvest that to allow the plant to fork out and grow more.
Oh, okay. And these things now, they're better to grow from seedlings?
Yes, yes. If you're growing from seedlings, you're able to harvest a part of those plants, use them, know what you're kind of tasting, and that actually sort of helps the plant to go, hey, I'm not growing those leaves anymore. I've got roots down here. Oh, it's a new environment. Let's have a look down here. Let's establish what's in our root base. Certainly with this wind at the moment that we're experiencing, seed germination is getting a little bit tricky because, of course, a lot of things are drying off. So, you know, there's a few different things to keep your seeds moist and all of that kind of thing. At the moment, getting a seedling, you know that healthy plant's ready to go.
That's fantastic. Thanks for joining us, Sarah. And a little bit later in the program, I'll share that spinach jam. And I think that's a great idea to have that in the fridge because, once again, even you talk about tricking the kids sometimes and doing lots of veggies on the pizza, that would be a good base to do with the pizza.
Oh, I have for many years been hiding spinach into pizza bases. My kids didn't realise that pizza bases didn't have spinach in them because they had never had a commercial pizza before.
Yeah, isn't that fantastic? Well, you enjoy the holidays with your children, and I'm
sure that
you'll get some fantastic child labour from that time too.
Yes, flower picking 101, quite a confession.
Thank you, Sarah, and we'll talk next month. Thanks very much for taking the time.
You're welcome. Thank you, listeners.
And, of course, we'd been talking to Sarah from Basilea, and we will share that recipe, but when we come back, we're going to be talking about Kids Kitchen. And welcome back to Community Kitchen. Of course, it's school holidays, and with this little free mag, I saw these great smoothies. And talking to Sarah just a little bit earlier, yesterday I was watching something on the Instagram, and I saw her making the orange cordial with her children. And it made me think about these juices and smoothies. One combination is a berry and watermelon juice, and of course using a quarter of a watermelon, peeled and chopped, 120 grams of raspberries, 250 grams of strawberries, and you know really strawberries are in abundance at the moment, a cup of crushed ice, and watermelon, and mint sprigs, just to serve and make it look pretty. But basically all you're doing is putting the chopped watermelon, the raspberries, the strawberries, and the crushed ice in a blender and blend it till smooth. Now, you can also take that into ice blocks. How beautiful would that be? I'd actually put a little bit of mint in mine, I think, because I love mint. And at the moment, my mint is so beautiful and big, but that is just such an easy thing for kids to do. Another one was a passion fruit, mango, and orange fizz. So you've got, of course, I think the mangoes are just coming in at the moment, but I did notice on the weekend there was a sale on diced mangoes for $4 for 500 grams. So that's great. So a cup of frozen diced mango, two oranges juice, two passion fruits halved, and there's lots of passion fruits on the vines at the moment. A cup of crushed ice and 2 cups of sparkling mineral water. So basically, once again, put the mango, the orange juice in a blender, blended till smooth, transferred to a jug with the pulp, passion fruit pulp, and then top with the mineral water. That would be beautiful. Once again, you can put a little bit of mint in there and that would be beautiful. But I like this magazine in the fact that, I'm going to talk about waste a little bit later, but what they're saying here is before juicing the oranges, wash the rind and remove it in strips and use it to make citrus dust. And that's just drying. Another thing, of course, in the preserving, it's a great way to be able to make your pectin. So that is a good thing to do to save some... Just to start to think a little bit more economically about your kitchen. I think it's, as I said earlier, it's mindful eating. Another smoothie, which would be brilliant for breakfast, a tablespoon of raspberry jam, 2 tablespoons of peanut butter, 2 frozen bananas, 1.5 cups of milk, 1/2 cup of vanilla yogurt, 1/4 cup of rolled oats, and 100 grams of strawberries and 50 grams of raspberries. So... this is just, once again, putting the spoon, the jam into the serving jars, spread a little of the peanut butter around the rim of each glass, place the bananas, milk, yogurt, oats, and remaining peanut butter in a blender, and blend until smooth, and pour half the banana mixture among the serving glasses. Add the strawberry and raspberry to the remaining mixture in a blender, and blend until smooth. So you're going to end up with a tiered sort of look with that, which I think kids could easily make that, and they would just love that. And it would be very delicious and filling. I know Mum was telling me that her son often makes the smoothies and puts either a couple of Wheat Bix or some rolled oats, and just gives it a little bit of bulk. And a green veggie juice, Sarah talking about spinach, 20 grams of baby spinach, one Granny Smith apple, cored and chopped, a Lebanese cucumber, one kiwi fruit peeled and chopped, one lime peeled and chopped, and 1.5 cups of coconut water and a little bit of grated ginger. That would just be a really refreshing and, easy to prepare. And a blueberry and blackberry spritz. Now, we've got mulberries around at the moment. I'm seeing the trees looking good, so that's another thing you could do. If you didn't want to use the frozen blackberries, you could use mulberries. 150 grams of blackberries, 80 grams of blueberries, tablespoon of maple syrup, a cup of crushed ice, and 600 ml of chilled raspberry sparkling mineral water. And that would be beautiful. As Sarah was saying, using those herbs, so you could put a little bit of thyme with that if you wanted. And I think looking back on some of the different recipes, putting that little bit of mint into it would just lift that flavour. But just a little bit of creative stuff for the children. And when I come back, we're going to listen to our sponsors very shortly, but I'm going to share that spinach jam and I'm going to talk about preserving. I'll be back with you very shortly with Community Kitchen. Welcome back to Community Kitchen. As I mentioned earlier, I was going to share this recipe for spinach jam, which it was a little article I found about the zero waste. And I think, as I mentioned earlier, being a little bit more mindful in the kitchen, in your pantry, in your fridge, we can throw out a lot of food. And it's one of the things that, people talk about, just how much waste that we have. And of course, it just keeps adding. I think back in, about 2017, they were talking about one third of all the food produced, it can be as high as 1 to 3 billion tons worth around $1 trillion that we're throwing out due to poor transportation and harvesting methods. So seriously, we have to start to think about that just for our future, I think helps. But so let's just go back to the spinach jam. Now I've had my little whinge about that. So what we're doing here is you're turning leftover leafy greens into a great savoury topping for toast. Heat 2 tablespoons of olive oil, add 3 chopped spring onions, 1/2 bunch of chopped flat-leaf parsley stalks and leaves, 4 crushed garlic cloves, cook over low heat for about 10 minutes, add 120 grams of baby spinach, or you can use silver beet, radicchio or kale. Cook, stirring constantly for about 15 to 20 minutes until spinach is very soft and wilted. Stir in 1 teaspoon of ground coriander and 1 finely chopped bird's eye chili. It's your choice. Cook, stirring for a minute until aromatic, and then spoon the mixture into a clean work surface and coarsely chop. Place into a bowl and stir in 1 tablespoon of lemon juice and 1/4 cup of olive oil. Now, that would be beautiful, and they're suggesting spoon onto toasted sourdough slices and sprinkle with crumbled coals, marinated Danish feta. But it would be a great base, as I said earlier, for pizzas. You could do the lovely, nice green pizzas. I mean, I just think that giving some of those wilted veggies a bit of a go, and someone said the other day they love going to this particular fruit shop because they have all the ugly fruit and veggies. And I think that maybe we shouldn't be that fussy. But I thought about preserving. I was going to have a bit of a chat about that, but I might actually leave that for next week when we've got a little bit more time. But with strawberry season around, I thought that we'd have a chat about making some different jams and goodies like that. And one of the things that I've found was interesting is that choosing and cooking orange, lemons and limes, they actually give you that pectin, of course. And one of the recipes that I was looking at makes a liquid, uses a liquid pectin. But you can make a liquid pectin at home by boiling the shells left over once the juice has been extracted. And then all you're doing is commercial pectin is made by boiling citrus skins in water to extract the pectin, then either bottling the resulting liquid or drying it into form of powder. So we could do the same thing. And what I did the other day when I made some lime marmalade was I actually just grated all the lime off it, and then I just had the little lime cases, which I juiced from there. Then I put that lime casing into the saucepan and boiled that for a little while, which actually does really intensify, but you don't want that white pith in your preserves. And if someone's out there who's a really good bottling or preserving specialist and you would like to come and talk to us on the show, I would love that, because sometimes I make what I thought was going to be strawberry jam, it becomes a beautiful strawberry sauce because you just haven't got the combination. And I know there's lots of tricks that you can either overcook. Some people talk about warming the sugar. Some people talk about, you know, making the using a jam setter. Some people don't like it. But it would be great to know these things. But just going off my recipes that I've been using and having failures sometimes and having losses others, raspberry jam, for example, it seems to be that the basis is the exactly the same amount of raspberries to the same amount of sugar. And this particular preserving book that I've used quite a few times suggests putting the berries and sugar in a preserving pan, simmer over a low heat, stirring constantly until the fruit has softened and the sugars dissolve. Bring to the boil and rapidly boil for about 5 to 7 until it reaches that setting point. And, of course, have your jars ready. So with that, when we talk about the berries, some of the berries, the black, white and red currants and the gooseberries and the cranberries have really high pectin. A moderate pectin is the raspberries, the boysenberries, and low in pectin are strawberries, blueberries, and blackberries. So that really have to pick up your sugar, your lemon when you're actually going to be using those. And that's why I think it's interesting when you see the raspberry, the combination is just half-half and you're working it from there. But another little recipe I saw the other day was making a really beautiful raspberry curd. And a lot of the times you, I'll probably make some passion fruit curd this week because my vine is full, but everyone thinks of lemon curd, but raspberry curd replacing the lemons or the passion fruit would be absolutely scrumptious to do that. And also a jam that I make, which I really enjoy, and we're talking about strawberries, is a rhubarb and strawberry. And I use a fair bit of vanilla in mine, pardon me, because I love that that flavour. The combination for that is about 1.25 of rhubarb, 600 grams of strawberries, and 1.8 of sugar, and freshly squeezed juice of 2 lemons. Now, they're using 250 grams of liquid pectin. So, therefore, that's the actual way we're using the lemons, and you're boiling that up with a bit of water. Or you can change that around. And that's, I think, where I really love to talk to someone who is very qualified in preserving. And, of course, you can always email me, annette@2oldducks.com.au, or phone the station 54951015 and leave a message, because we'd love to have a a professional preserver come on and share some of their little tricks. But how beautiful to have scones or pikelets or even a lovely tart where you've been able to use that strawberry rhubarb vanilla jam. How gorgeous is that? And it does last, and there's so many different ways that we can actually start to put a little bit of different flavour into our food by using some of the preserves. We've got so many abundant strawberries at the moment. Raspberries are always around. Probably a little bit more expensive. You can alter that and take that so you don't have to use as many raspberries. As I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of mulberries around. And these are things that we can... Christmas is coming. It's a great gift to give to people. And a great way to actually enhance. So we've had a little bit of a play today with a few things, but next week I am going to be talking about preserving or canning, as they call in America, or putting up or processing or bottling. I think there's so many different alternatives. And of course, this is a great way to be able to use that extra produce that you have, or making some maybe some nice little pickles out of some veggies that you find in abundance, and put on the shelf, and then you've got it for a later date, and it will cut down your food waste, and you get the pleasure of putting it on the family table. So thanks for joining with this morning on Community Kitchen. Don't forget, if you are a bottler or a canner or a processor or a putter-upper, and you'd love to come on the show and share some of those hints, we'd really appreciate that, because it's nice to be able to share some cooking ideas, and of course we all benefit. So until next week, have a great week. Let's hope it's not too hot, and let's hope and pray for a little bit of rain.